What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another... Whoa, boy. I've got this dial. We've got this turned up way too high because, man, I am loud. I'm so loud I'm knocking myself up. Okay, I got it fixed now. Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. And on this 22nd day of May 2024, folks, I want to tell you what happens when somebody turns that dial and boom, you go, you don't know it. Just imagine it just about blows your eardrums out. But I'm okay now. I think I can still hear. Anyhow, we have Style as our producer tonight. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
I can still hear a little ringing, but and then way out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than the legendary Parson Joe Larson.
If you're referring to that highly unpaid professional assistant, yes, I am.
All righty. And then we got back from a vacation. She sent me pictures of her laying out in the sunlight on the beach, just taking it easy while I was working like a dog, but like a rose between the thorns, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Well, good evening, pastors. How are you?
We're doing all right.
We're doing fine. Did you get sunburned?
A little on the shoulders, but
okay.
I pretty much tried to stay in the shade.
Huh?
Nothing bad, yeah.
I got sunburn out there working on my tractor.
Herbs, you should have had something to treat sunburn, right?
Well, I did, but I didn't have it with me on the beach. I had to get it at the place we're staying.
Uh-oh.
All right, there you go. All right, yeah, you really looked comfortable out there laying back on your lounge chair there. Anyhow, we got to get into it, Joe. You remember the title of the message?
I think I do. It went something like, "The law is not made for the righteous, but for the lawless."
That's exactly right. And we're going to pick it up tonight in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 45 through 54. And so why don't you read verses? Well, let's take it verse at a time.
Then answered one of the lawyers, and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also.
Oh, yeah. He just went after the scribes and the Pharisees. Now he's going after the lawyers.
Yeah, he went after because he was going, woe unto you, Pharisees, woe unto you, Pharisees, and woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. So the lawyers were kind of waiting for their turn, weren't they?
Yeah, you're not kidding. And he said, woe unto you also, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your little fingers. Now, Biden wanted to add 80,000 more IRS lawyers. Let me ask you a question here. Do you think that they give themselves a break when it comes to taxes, and especially nowadays, what's happening in the economy? A lot of older folks your age, Joe, are losing their property because they can't afford to pay the property taxes. And did you know?
It happened a lot.
Yeah. And, Joe, here's the irony. Property taxes are not a lawful tax. God's word, the Bible, makes it clear they're not a lawful tax.
Exactly.
We shouldn't be paying property taxes.
What you call settled law, right, of the universe.
Yeah. And so I know here in Ohio you've got a group who we work with who are really fighting this whole idea of property taxes. And I know also that Tactical Civics, that's one of their main issues, is this illegal, unlawful property taxes. But anyhow, what other ways do they do that? He says, woe unto you, for you, you lawyers, for you laid men with burdens. What about January 6s? January 6s, they're laying those men with burdens, and these corrupt, dirty lawyers, and I mean dirty lawyers, they're working for the communists.
Because judges are lawyers too, right?
Yeah.
They are keeping that in mind. They're keeping people in jail for over 2 years without a trial, without a hearing, without bail.
Over 3 years now.
3 years now, right. And one of them just got out Jake Lang just spent 36 days in sensory deprivation chamber there, and because he wasn't going to go along with them. And
well, we've had Jake on his program 4 times, and we've had his father on here twice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he knew this was coming. He figured, and this radio program is the reason. What they're using for doing that to him.
Oh, because he spoke out. Well, no, it's the program. It's not the program. It's the fact that he spoke out. The world is hearing some truth about the injustice. The Constitution has been shredded. They've taken it and they've just made a joke out of the rule of law, the Constitution. I mean, we're as bad right now, the Biden administration, as any banana republic I've seen in the past 30, 40 years.
It is bad, isn't it?
It is that bad, yes. I think that is a true statement. I would challenge anybody to prove me wrong.
Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allowed the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. Do you know what he's saying there?
Yeah, you helped kill them, and then you make the graves for the ones that you've killed.
They're making money off of that,
just like
this here, Rushan, his daughter made $100 million off Trump, off in the corrupt, very very corrupt trial that. That's going on now in New York.
Yeah, which it is really the judge should have, according to all the laws and the values of the legal system, he should have recused himself for that very reason. And since he didn't, basically, again, just ignoring the rule of law, ignoring the Constitution, the...
That judge should be in prison. He should be in, for what he's done. He has violated the law, the oath of office. What he has done is he should be in prison for doing what he's done.
He should be put in prison for what he's done. Kicked out of being a judge and disbarred would be the least that should happen to him.
Therefore, also said the... Oh, listen to this next verse. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Do you know what he's saying there? You know what he's saying? Now listen carefully, Joe,
okay.
Wendy. Therefore also said, and I might emphasize, therefore also I said the wisdom of God.
God, yes.
Okay, the wisdom of Jesus is referring to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute.
Persecute, yeah. But there, he's just saying you're going to do the same thing to the ones I send that I sent to your fathers.
They just had two cases in Washington, D.C., and also Memphis, Tennessee, where they just arrested a bunch of pro-lifers. One of them is a friend of mine, and they're sentencing them. Some of them getting as much as 11 years in prison for going to the abortion mills. They're using the FACE laws against them.
Yeah.
And that's three times whatever the penalty, okay? And so this is pure tyranny. It's nothing but tyranny.
Because the big thing is God said, thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood. And liberals are as busy as they can trying to do as many abortions or murdering as many children as they can. And they get very angry when people point it out and stand up and fight back against them.
All right. What do you have to say about all that, Wendy?
Yeah, sounds about right. I mean, we live in perilous times.
We certainly do.
And it's going to get worse.
The blood of all the prophets, which I shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. So from the foundation of the world, he's going back to the very first prophet from the blood of Abel. Abel was the very first prophet. Do you know what he was doing when he was murdered?
He'd made a sacrifice unto the Lord. He was praising him.
Well, he was prophesying. That's why Abel killed him.
Oh.
He was the very first prophet there. And from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Zechariah was the son of Jehoiada, the priest who was stoned when he prophesied against the people under King Joash. Remember what he said? He told them about the coming invasion, but they said, no, not here.
Didn't want to hear it.
In fact,
we've been telling them about the communist revolution going on in America. And people do not want to believe it, do not want to hear it.
No, they don't.
But also Jesus, remember, Jesus knows what's going to happen. When they crucified him, they said, let the blood be upon us. And that's exactly what Jesus, he said,
Yeah, the Jews, the leaders national said,
generation.
Yeah, that was the sin of the Jews where, they said, let the blood be upon us and our children.
Children.
And
here God's saying that the blood of all the prophets shed, may be required of this generation, because they also went after the author of all the prophecy.
Yep.
The one who gave the prophets the words to say, they decided to kill him too.
Yeah. So woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered.
Hindered, yeah.
Do you know what he's referring to? He's referring to the Word of God.
God, yeah.
He's referring to those that were receiving eternal life. They hindered them.
You haven't received the knowledge. You're not entering into eternal life, but you have sure tried to what hinder them that were trying to have everlasting life and enter into the kingdom, right?
Absolutely. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. So what were they trying to do? They were trying to get him, to put him in a position. They tried over and over to put him in a position where he could not give a right answer. And it was,
they're,
you know,
using scripture against it. They figure they'll find some way to get him to say something that violates the law. And they just don't get it. He wrote the law. He created the universe. Everything that was said, he was the author of all the words. And not only that, he knew every thought that they had, every word that they would speak, every, you know, he knew it all ahead of time. They were playing, we used to call that playing against the stacked deck, right?
Yeah. Well, that's again,
the most stacked deck in the world, trying to argue with the creator of the universe.
No, they wanted to have a battle of wits, and they came unarmed because...
Very...
No, you can't, you know, here, laying wait for him and seeking to catch him something out of his mouth, and they might accuse him. Well, they tried to do that, and every time they did that, it backfired on him.
So and, they had to falsely accuse him when they crucified him, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So they couldn't, just kind of like with Donald Trump, they couldn't get him for anything really legal, anything, any crime he really committed. But they're creating, they've come up with all these make-believe crimes and things that he's supposedly done, and it's not sticking because none of it's real.
They bring forth false witnesses,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of false witnesses. We know,
and
we've
false
seen...
witnesses fall apart on the stands, and the world is seeing them for what they are, and... Yeah, that's why it's falling apart. Plus, there's no facts to back up. There's just a lot of false accusations with no proof.
Well, we saw that with Merrick Garland, with Chris Ray, with Jim Comey. You see, Comey is out. Comey is making all the rounds out there begging people to vote for Biden. You know, he is scared. Now, Comey, he knows that they... that the deep state has got, you know, they got plans. They're going to try to thwart the election again with every dirty trick in the book. But he's afraid it might not work. And he knows what happens if Trump wins the election and they get an actual attorney general, someone legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? Boom. He's going to clean house at the FBI, either, you know, totally dismantle it, or at least the top two or three levels, you know, get rid of the corrupt. And what if he appoints actual, honest people with the FBI? They're going to come after Comey.
What he's trying to do now is get all the people together that he trusts that will, that believe in what he believes and will follow through with things. And that's what's happening right now, is all that's going on, looking for the people to fill all these important jobs. And he's not going to put these... fakes in anymore, that because now he's been educated, he now knows who's on his side and who isn't, and who to listen to and who not. So this time he's coming armed.
Yeah. But remember how they always were.
Gunfight, and he didn't realize that he was, you know, not equally armed. This time he's going to come in a lot better armed.
Yeah, well, you know how they always operate. One of the things they like is false witnesses. They like to bring forth false witnesses. You've seen that with General Flynn. You've seen that with this thing with here his latest lawyer here that admitted on the stand. You know who I'm talking about? The one that's been... who they went after his wife, that was going to threaten to indict his wife unless he couldn't make up a story to find when he was asked to find something on Trump, and he said, I got nothing on Trump. Remember, by his own lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
His own lawyer, Costello. Bob Costello told him.
Costello, was Cohen's lawyer.
Yeah, it was Cohen's lawyer. And Costello told Cohen, listen, if you can give me something on Trump, anything, I'll get you clear of this whole mess. And Cohen says, there is nothing. I don't have anything.
He wasn't on him. He said at least 10 times he asked him, because he said, you're going to be in trouble if you can't come up with something on Trump. And he said he asked over and over and over, got the same answer. If I had something, I'd give it to you, but I don't have anything to give you. I have nothing on Trump.
And so this Judge Merchan, he threw a gasket when Costello was saying, look, I've got all the evidence right here. He would not let him testify.
Right.
And,
which is a crime. A judge cannot, say you can't present evidence in your defense. That's, again, unconstitutional.
So
he should be disbarred for that.
We're seeing same thing happen over and over again. Remember what happened with Naboth and his vineyard. What did Jezebel do? She brought forth false witnesses to bear witness.
Right.
And that's exactly what they're doing with Trump. They brought forth all those false witnesses. They had Comey. We talked about that. They had John Brennan, who was another McCabe, Andrew McCabe.
He supposedly...
Lisa
expert,
Page.
Right?
Pardon?
The 50 experts that all testified.
No, there was 51. 51. Yeah. They lied. They came forth, mm-hmm. and it was our Secretary of State went to them, and he's the one, and asked them to lie, And they said, well, that's what we do. We're intelligence. We lie. And they did. They lied through their teeth.
Hey, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
Remember Richard Nixon in Watergate? Said that he had all these tapes because he was paranoid because he felt he was surrounded by vipers.
Yeah. Well, that's what's happening
terrible.
Out there.
Yeah,
yeah it is.
And he had a few vipers around him. I think there's always been people in the deep state. Even before it was called the deep state, bureaucrats wanting to increase their power, prestige, want to secure their cushy job. They're invited to the best dinner parties. They live in one of the most expensive parts of the country, and, they're part of the elite class, and they're doing everything they can to secure their futures and their wealth.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they hate Trump so much, because Trump was a Democrat, and they tried to bring him into this elite club, and when he got in there, he didn't like what he saw.
No.
And he said, no, I've got higher standards than this. I'm better than this, okay? And this is why, and that's why he came out and said, I remember hearing him when he talked about Epstein's Island. He said, it's a very, very bad place. People should stay away from that place. And that was, back before he was into politics. And that's what they asked him, what advice would you give to Bill Clinton? And that's what he said. He said, I would stay away from that place. Of course, he knew that Clinton frequented it. And all those people that were going there, all of a sudden Trump now, he's an outsider. They felt that he betrayed him. Now, he knew who they were. And that appeared to be a threat to him, to them. So, anyhow, we're coming up to a break, and we'll be back right after this, and we're going to hear from Words of Wisdom from Miss Wendy. Be right back.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel? You sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be.
so the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Gird up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. And all the signs are there. We're waiting for his imminent return, and he's coming back. And boy, some of us are going to be very, very happy, and others are not so. Anyhow, Wendy, I have to ask Joe something, okay? This is important. Hey, Joe, if you needed a transplant, a heart transplant, and you had a choice to get the heart of Joe Biden or a hyena, which would you take?
I think I'd go for a pig.
Well, no, you didn't get that. I said two choices. I didn't
give three. Oh, two choices. I'd probably go for the hyena.
All right. Okay. There you go, folks.
At least they're honest. They're a predator, and they're honest about it. Biden professes to be one thing and is the exact opposite. So.
Yep. All right, Ms. Wendy, you're on, young lady.
Yeah, we're going to talk about animal organ transplants here in a minute, but before I forget, you were mentioning property tax and people not being able to afford property tax. You know, I took a class by a guy that was educating people in conferences on what true titleship is as far as property goes, and he took you back through, you know, the founding of the nation, and our founding fathers didn't like the way the King of England operated, and how they operated in England is the king owned all the land, and he would give it out to his friends, and if you displeased the king, he would take it away. So they didn't want to do that in America, so they made sure the government didn't own but 10 square miles in the capital, and that when they won the war with the British, because the king had declared all of America his. And so when we separated from England, the king bequeathed all that land he had said was his in what was called an allodial title. Another term is a land patent. So your American soil is under a land patent. And in the language that was set down by the courts, it was in perpetuity. And that's a term that means forever. And the Supreme Courts can't get around that term, perpetuity. So if he teaches you how to do a proper title search, and you can go all the way back to your allodial title patented land, and you can claim it, and allodial patented land cannot be taxed.
Now, believe me, by the Democrats it can.
Well, he gives you all the Supreme Court cases that haven't been overturned, and you have to educate your local yokels, but and you'll have to defend it. But once you get through it, the land can't be taxed. You don't need permits. If you want to subdivide the land, you can. Law enforcement are not allowed on your property without your written permission, and on it goes.
All right, very good.
Yeah,
that's why they have revisionist history, Wendy. Yeah. You know, because there's a lot of things they don't want people to know.
Well, if you think about it, when they do title searches, those aren't proper title searches.
No, they just go back so far. Yeah.
Right. They just do. They set up a registry after the first 100 years. They didn't want to keep doing it, you know. So they set up a registry, and anyway, just messed it all up. But yeah, history is, when you get the right story, it's fascinating. But let's get to our animal organ transplant issue, because we've talked about this before, Pastor. On the Advance of Science has been attempting using genetically engineered animal organs for human transplants. So your genetic splicing of animal and human genes will increase the likelihood of, they think, the human body accepting such transplant. And we're told that the animal trials that they were working with reported a success, and the real test would be a human trial, correct?
Right.
So, yep. So now the research is on human trials, and it's trickling in, this research, and there seems to be some serious concerns. So I know you may be thinking, who would agree to experimental surgery to implant animal organs? Well, according to the research in New York University Langone Health Grossman School of Medicine, they use decedents. These are people that are brain dead and aren't coming back. So they didn't take them off life support, and they were experimenting with them. So if you're not sure what a decedent is a human that is pronounced dead, brain dead, but is still on life support. Now, the researchers did implant pig hearts and kidneys, and these are the two most sought-after transplants in the United States, okay? And
right.
Let's look at the cost. Let's look at the cost of that, because if you recall, you may have recall previous reports that your organ transplant business is very lucrative, but there's been a decline in volunteered organs, and this creates a long waiting list. And the statistics in 2023 for your kidney and heart transplants were as follows. Your kidney transplant list had over 101,000 people waiting, and a majority are going to die waiting. Kidney transplants per year, about 17,000. And then the cost of a kidney transplant is $442,500.
Wow.
The heart transplant list has 3,336, with 1 in 7 being adults and 1 in 4 being children on the list. And the cost of a heart transplant is $1.3 million. So these costs are for the initial transplant really doesn't include your prescription meds for additional medical attention after the surgery. So the cost of your anti-rejection medicine or your immune suppressants is between $10,000 and $14,000 per year to be on those meds. So the life of an organ graft. Let me ask you this, Pastor. Have you ever heard how long the heart transplants or kidney transplants last?
No.
No, not really.
Okay, so the life of an organ graft, and that's what they call a transplant, no matter what organ you're talking about, is 1 to 5 years. All that money.
For $1 million, $1.2 million for maybe a year, maybe five at the best, right?
Right, yeah. And then,
plus,
of course,
another 10,000 to 20,000 a year to.
So then you're back on the list and you're waiting for another donor, see? So as you can see, there is money to be made for the medical establishment with organ transplants, and if there is not enough human organs available, so science is now turning to this contingency plan to use animal-human hybrid organs that they've been tinkering with genetically. And they've been doing this for some time.
I'm surprised because one of China's, one of their major businesses is organ transplants. I mean, China is famous for organ transplants,
right.
And many of those organs they send right here to America.
Well, according to the New York University, two studies were done, and they performed them on the human decedents, and they monitored their cell levels in the organs and in the body before, during, and after the transplant. And what science, when science puts animal organs inside a human, it's called a xenotransplant. And this research was performed, they did it in November 2021, and they did it in the summer of 2022. Then, you know, they did some really bold things. They recently took a pig kidney, and they put it in a living patient, not a deceased one, in April of 2024. And the research did get published in the May 2024 Journal of Nature Medicine and also in the Journal of Med. So here, there were some changes they noticed once they put these animal hybrid organs in. The report showed that there were changes in the cells, in the organs, and in the host body after the surgery. So the blood and the tissue samples they took showed tens of thousands of changes in the collected cells. Then MIT and Harvard joined the research to track the genetic cellular activity, and they used RNA sequencing. It was used to track the genetic changes. And the report said as follows. In the pig kidney transplants, they had no immediate kidney failure or rejection, but it did cause a strong change in the immune system blood monitoring cells called your PBMC cells. So these cells tend to attack transplanted organs seen as foreign invaders, and patients were given, you know, the anti-rejection medicines or your immune suppressants. However, there was this subtle reaction they noticed. It was indicating the body had started the rejection phase, and this would eventually kill the transplanted organ as the antibodies would eventually attack it. They also found an increase in tissue repair mechanisms where the cells were multiplying in growth, and it's usually incurred in the healing process, but it can also transform healthy cells to cancer cells and give you an aggressively growing cancer. So the scientists were saying this area would need to have further study.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Dr. Joe Burke, Director of System Genetics, New York University Grossman School of Medicine. He said, "We have detailed the cellular mechanisms that dictate how human immune cells react to the xenotransplant in a short term. These results give us new insights into how we might further engineer pig organs for transplant or tailor immune suppression treatments to improve tolerance of the foreign organ," end of quote. So the research did report that your pig kidney immune system cells initiated reactions immediately after the transplant, and the human body immune system were the cells that attacked the pig organs within 48 hours and dominated the immune signals. And so more research, they say, needs to be done to identify the first wave of the immune attack on animal organs and will influence research moving forward so they can correct or prevent or reverse these attacks. Similar results were reported with the pig heart transplants as well. Your pig hearts can be typically smaller than a human heart, and this could impede blood and oxygen flow, causing ischemia or reperfusion damage. So the pig hearts may not be the right size. It's about life expectancy. We should note that even with the human organ transplants, you know, even if you're getting a human organ, the life expectancy is just a few years. So it's kind of unrealistic to think that the re-engineered animal human organs will last any longer than a year or so. So life, as you know, is precious. But we have to ask at what cost and what is the quality of life with a xenotransplantation or an animal part transplantation. Well, obviously there is more work science is going to do regarding this area. The type of research actually has been going on quite long, quietly for 20 years. I had no idea they were doing this research that long. So it's all about your DNA. Apparently when they put animal parts in you, it changes DNA. But are we surprised by that? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. So, and basically, your DNA gets, you know, passed on to the next generation. What would that mean for someone who needs a blood transfusion? And apparently, since 2000, scientists have been researching animal blood transfusions called xenotransfusions. This is just really kind of creeping me out, to be honest. They keep doing that kind of thing. But there's fewer people donating organs. I will say this, working at a hospital, if you come in as a head injury, you got a big target on you. Okay? You are going to be prime. If you don't do well and recover, you're going to be prime for harvesting your organs.
Mm-hmm. That's why they checked your... And a lot of people, that's why they don't want that on their driver's license when they asked if you want to be...
Organ donor,
right.
Yeah.
Because they're
an organ donor for research, right?
Right. They know how much money these doctors get for a heart transplant or whatever. And
over $1 million. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize this. You got to be careful. Sometimes they can be quite aggressive, you know, because organ transplant is an expensive area. They make a lot of money from it. So let's say you have a family member that is brain dead. They don't think they'll come back. And so then this team will come and ask you, you know, well, would you like to donate the organs? And let's say the family is undecided. What they tend to do is separate them, the family members, and then convince one to sign the release form. And you're upset because someone's passed away. You don't tend to read this stuff. And who's going to pay the harvesting fee? I'm going to ask you that, you know?
It's not going to be the family that donates the organ, is it?
Yep. They don't realize that when they sign that form, they're going to have to pay to have those organs donated. Yeah.
I thought it'd be the other way around, that they would try and tell them they'll absorb the hospital bill for the family if they'll volunteer the body for science. But
that
it's not that way
like
at all.
It doesn't work that way, no. And the other thing is, when they pronounce a person dead, there can't be a heart rate, there can't be a pulse, there can't be any breathing, there can't be any of that. Okay. And when that happens, degradation of your tissues immediately begin because there's no oxygen and blood flow to those organs, and those aren't going to be organs that are going to be usable for transplant. So they can't allow the person to come off life support and be, you know, clinically dead. They have to take them while they're still clinically alive.
Well, that's why in China, you always hear these stories about the harvest the organs out of a live patient.
And, they do that. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is,
because they want them, they have to be that fresh to work.
They have to be fresh. Yeah, they have to be in good condition.
Have to be that fresh.
Right, and the other thing is, let's say it's a head trauma, brain injury, no brain signal kind of person.
Democrats are running for Congress.
Well, they think that they're going to give this person pain medicine before they cut into him, but they do not do that because then those drugs go in the organs and they can't have those drugs. Yeah.
Same thing with the little babies. The same thing with the planned predators gets these little babies and these women that will carry a baby to full term and sell it for thousands and thousands of dollars for them to do that. That's what they do right in this country. It's wicked.
Wow.
It's very, very evil.
That is really bad. And, I mean, working in healthcare, I saw a lot of things, and my whole perspective and of healthcare changed when I worked in it. And it's sort of like, you know, anybody that goes into a certain profession, you hear a lot of lawyers, they go to law school because they believe in the law, they want to help people, and then they find out the system doesn't work like that, really.
Right, when they get into it. Well, yeah. I was just wondering, I was waiting for you to come on. There's a doctor in Japan, I guess he's a very eminent doctor, and he's come out now. He is a top cancer expert. His name is Mansori Fukushima, and he was talking about the problem with the reports and studies of the side effects, the fatal heart ailments, and he called them essentially murder. He's citing these turbo cancers that move very fast, often are at stage four, a terminal point by the time they're diagnosed. And he's talking about it's a result of the mRNA shots, especially the Pfizer shots. And, so he called it murder. So
right.
He's somebody speaking out loud and clear. I mean, he wasn't mincing words at all. He's talking about huge damages. The damage
sure.
doesn't stop, you know, and more people are going to be dying within the next few years. And it goes on, and his own government, he said, we've opened Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if anybody remembers
the bad
what that
thing,
is.
Yeah, the bad thing is, you know, they converted all of the vaccines to mRNA technique.
Yeah.
You know, so all the babies are getting these and stuff. And at some point I got some new research. We'll talk about this next time maybe on the universal flu vaccine. It's very important information people need to consider in that. I mean, a lot of times when they kind of bring you forward to some sort of groundbreaking research, they give you little bits and pieces of prior research and that went into, you know, your previous generation flu shots. And the light bulb goes on, and you go, well, wait a minute. You know? So I won't cliffhanger, no spoiler alert. I'll save it for next time, though.
Well, right now, Wendy, you have a whole complete new industry on trying to get people unvaxxed, how to reverse the
right.
process. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got a new way of doing it now. I mean, everywhere I turn,
several different ways. I've heard nicotine patches, get rid of the spike proteins and all kinds of things. But the best way to avoid these things is to avoid them in the beginning. And I got a wake-up call when I was in my 30s, and one of my children had a bad reaction to vaccines, because I was working in healthcare. And that's, I've talked to Dr. Anthony Norris, chief virologist of the FDA. He was former chief then, but he actually blew my mind telling me that's not what vaccines are for. They're not for antibodies at all. And this guy had access to all the raw clinical data while he was in his tenure at the FDA. I think it blew his mind, too, because he was a virologist, and he was taught certain things, and then he found out that's not what it is. It's sad, isn't it?
Well, we're finding out the world.
It's criminal is what it is.
Not as it seems. I look back when I was quite young, and you're optimistic, you look at the world, and you think we've got this wonderful constitution, rule of law, and, people have honor and dignity. I grew up in that father knows best, leave it
yep.
to Beaver type world. And then you get out in the world and you find out what it's really like. And, you're right. And the older you get, the more you see how far we've strayed from God, and the farther we go from God, the worse it gets.
Yes, yeah, and, basically you've got a conditioning or brainwashing, if you will, with your television media, because a lot of your perspective was from television. You
yeah.
had, you had law and order type TV shows, you had medical shows, you had political shows, and, it always gave you the bright and better side with integrity of all these institutions.
Yeah,
but
Dr. Welby. Everybody wanted Dr. Welby, M.D., for their family doc. You have to be old to remember this stuff. But, here was a guy you could love. Everybody wanted him for their family doctor,
and
the way the world should be.
The court show, the Ironside court show.
It was interesting because here we were embarrassed because when we watched Leave it to Beaver, his mother always wore high heels and a really nice dress when she did housework, and my mother didn't.
Disappointed, huh?
She wouldn't put them high heels. I know. Some of the old Westerns, a lot of people probably wouldn't remember. Wendy, you might not remember Hopalong Cassidy.
No, my grandfather used to watch Gunsmoke.
Hey, Poncho.
Yeah, my grandfather used to watch Gunsmoke a lot, though.
Matt Dillon. Oh, yep, I'll tell you. If I was Matt Dillon, Joe, you'd be Chester. And Wendy'd be Miss Kitty.
Oh, all no. Right.
But,
okay,
you know, it's...
stop this quickly before we...
yeah, we're getting carried away. But one of the things I liked about Hopalong Cassidy, there was a young actor named Robert Mitchum, and every week he'd be a different villain, and every week he'd get knocked off his horse, and that was an amazing thing. I used to love to watch that. Oh well.
But it's been an effective tool at conditioning people. That's what television has been.
Yeah, it has been, but it,
well,
you know,
cultural Marxism. Remember when it came out? The whole idea we were going to use the culture, we're going to use radio and television, we're going to use art, we're going to use music, we're going to use poetry, we're going to use everything that affects theater, that affects the culture, the music, by changing subtly the music and all these different aspects of culture, education, you know, you name it. And that's why it's been so effective. They've taught through all these different mediums. They started out subtly, one little change after another.
Yeah, you know, Joe, though, I remember
what was happening.
We had the first television. We had the first television in our block where we lived in the city back in those days. And you know what? We only had two stations to be in the very beginning, just two stations, but. When they went off the air, they would go off the air at midnight, and they would play the national anthem, and then there would be usually a prayer. There'd be a word of God or a Bible phrase, way back then in the beginning, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Every night.
Remember that the national anthem, and usually it was some quote from Scripture.
Yeah, do you remember that, Wendy?
Somebody said a prayer, closing prayer.
I think that was...
Yeah, I know. My grandfather used to go to bed listening to WOR radio out in New York, I think. And they had ministers on after, I think, 11 o'clock. And he would listen to these ministers on WOR all the time. Yeah.
Yep. I remember hearing... those feminists say, you're not going to put us back in the 50s. Boy, the 50s were a good time. We didn't have to lock our doors and windows. People were actually prospering.
People were nice to one another. Our whole town was a friendly, wonderful place. It was so different. I wish I could describe the...
You had very little divorce. Families stayed together. You know, and people used to... They would eat dinner and they would sit at the table and they would talk. They weren't on their smartphones. They would actually talk to each other.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember in my grandparents' house. You know, if you came entered a room and they had neighbors over for a visit, you greeted them. You didn't walk through and ignore them. You know,
those days were much better days. I remember this old timer saying, you know, we were at a picnic and. He said, I remember it used to be, in the old days, we'd go in the house to eat, and then we'd go outside to use the bathroom, you know, because back in those days, they had the outhouses.
Yeah.
He says, it's just a different. We go outside here to eat, and then we go inside to use the bathroom. So, anyhow,
well,
we're coming up to a break.
Bad. It was all the other changes.
And Wendy, you have not promoted your product.
Oh,
so
sure. If anybody's interested in some herbal medicines, give us a call and we'll send you a free catalog. We're also in the middle of our...
Wendy, hang tight. Video. You're going to have to hold on for a minute till we come back right after this.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again,
thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.